Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 164. Matt's not with us this week. He's at an EMF concert or something like that. I don't know. I think it's a gaming concert. Anyway, he'll be back next week. So with it just being me this week, I think the three people thing works much better. So we went right back to the start. We have these guests on before. I think it was January 2nd, somewhere yes. around that. Yeah, I think this was the first time we ever did the guests. It was new to Visionaries Global Media. This was the perfect time to introduce them. Of course, they're megastars now. Everybody knows who they are. Brainbuster Boys, Bo and Brett, how are you doing, guys?
Doing good. How about you, Graham? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I know. It's been a crazy, what is it now? 10 months since we've been on in our world.
It's been far too long. It's amazing that I don't even keep track of the numbers exactly, but I think you must have been less than 10 episodes when you came on last time.
I think we'd had six at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, we had taken a winter break and then we did this and then we did our next episode that week.
And that week was when the craziness that we seemed to can't avoid on our show started with the Book of Turner. And it's certainly been a wild ride since then, leading us to where we are now with somehow having another show on our show that we have no control of. Bo, I don't know if we want to talk about this at all, or if we just...
I think you should. I think most people, I would say Visionaries Global Media people, they tend to listen to all the podcasts that are on there. But for that random person who's just suddenly discovered our little network, tell us a little bit about your show, and I guess the show within a show as well, possibly.
Bo, I'll let you take it.
You know, if kind of we elevator pitch our show, you know, or if I kind of retroactively elevator pitch our show, it would be two guys start a pod, I guess, you know, describe this: two guys, a wrestling fan and originally a non-wrestling fan, decide to start a wrestling podcast, but get caught up in the show business of the wrestling podcast industry. So that's kind of, you know, a pretty good summation of what we've done. You know, we got involved with Turner. And then some strange supernatural stuff I heard that, I mean, that started just after you were on, you know, we got involved in kind of a, basic cable religion, is the best way to describe it, with the Book of Turner. You know, we kind of got into a bad situation and, you know, Brad had to make a big choice, to kind of, move away from AEW for a while to sort of free ourselves from that cult. And then we covered WWE, and that's kind of when, you know, sort of this whole getting involved with show business started, because we got involved with the likes of Triple H and Vince McMahon, and kind of got involved in a proxy war between the two. Came to find out that Vince McMahon, you know, kind of all along was just trying to mess with our show and make it suck because he wanted to make everything suck, born out of some sort of deep-seated insecurity that we helped him with. We drove to Atlanta. You know,
he rammed us off the road in a Raw production truck.
Yeah. We, you know, drove to Atlanta to, you know, because we kind of quit. We kind of found out what he was doing. We're like, we're not hip to this. So yeah, he, you know, ran us off the road, met some weird people. We get to Atlanta, and we make the show right. And we kind of, you know, set Vince, you know, on the right track. Cause, you know, apparently he was in anger management, with, you know, the four letter word, you know, Greg now. He was there with Greg, and it seems like he is on the right track. He's kind of not trying to make things suck. He's kind of, you know, realized that he's the person who sets the expectations in his life.
Except for that Extreme Rules main event. That sucked.
Yeah, that did suck. And, you know, kind of a lot of weird stuff going down in WWE, which I saw a cool video of Big E today. He went to Iowa, and he was doing... What's the bastard version of College Game Day on a
Big Noon?
Big Noon, yeah, Big Noon on Fox, yeah, it's their version. And so yeah, he was on that.
We jumped around about a lot last year too, but
Big Noon, I forgot about that. Anyways, So Big E was on Big Noon and had a pretty cool video that I saw in there just before we hopped on there. And so anyways, I digress. So after we, you know, the whole shenanigans with WWE ends, and we're kind of, you know, we get sort of everything that we wanted starting off with the show. We get to kind of cover AEW without having to deal with Turner and their expectations and their
Getting Ted Turner's blessing.
After getting Ted Turner himself. We came back and there was this guy sitting on our porch, which was Greg Goldman, who we've kind of been fascinated with, and then he sort of reciprocated the fascination, the entire time we've been making this show. And so Greg shows up and wants a part on our show, and kind of after a little bit of back and forth, we let him be on as our WWE correspondent, because when we cover WWE, we kind of opened ourselves up to a whole new audience of people who just like that. So we were like, oh, we want the best of both worlds. Maybe we can get that with Greg. Ha ha. Basically, we give Greg his own show. It kind of starts off disastrous. He gets mad. Dude's got anger problems, obviously.
His own segment on our show, not his own show.
Oh, yeah. That's a god. Yeah, kind of. I'm so turned around by the events as of late. But anyways, so Greg, we send him to anger management because he has a big blow up. He comes back. And, we kind of finally hit the sweet spot with him. And kind of while that's happening, I meet this agent from this organization called Last Tag Team Productions while I was in Memphis, named Fox Monroe. And Fox decided to, he showed interest in us and decided to maybe give us sort of a trial run, a consultation to see if we, could be, brought in and signed by them. And we blew it.
It backfired.
And
he signed Greg Goldman.
Yeah, and so now Greg has his own show apparently with a studio freaking audience, and
on our show.
There's this guy named Hoagie on there that we've never met.
Seems kind of cool. I mean,
Definitely between the. I mean, it's not hard, to seem kind of cooler than Greg. But anyway, so now he has his own show, and because of some sort of agreement that we didn't look through when we accepted Fox's kind of trial run money, this is kind of our reality. And it's kind of a relief being on here, knowing that when this comes out, we're not gonna hear that piano riff come in announcer and then the Greg's show, which
that's it. And we talk at. About EW every week now, and another way is we're a wrestling podcast with a wrestling storyline running through it. And it's been pretty crazy. And we're happy to be.
This is definitely our biggest feud to date. I never hated Vince with nearly as much, a juice and fervor that I despise Greg. But we're going to be in good spirits today.
All is good. Hangman's back. I'm wearing the shirt. We're gonna get into that, I'm sure. Yeah, we're turning the corner.
Come up at some point. Yeah, I'm sure that'll come up. Yeah, there's never a dull moment in the Brainbuster world, that's for sure. You never know each week from one to another. Hey, it's luckily you guys aren't PG, because I had a bad cop moment. I forgot to press pause on my podcasts on when I was listening to them Monday, and I have them set to delete once you've listened to. I thought I'd click pause. And basically, it just played for the whole day, and it deleted every single podcast. And I couldn't remember what was actually on there. So I kept seeing different ones. And I totally missed yours. So I actually listened to it last night. So good job you guys aren't PG. If you had to bleep out every time Goldman said the F word or anything like that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. One that my son will not be listening
to. He's got a sewer mouth, doesn't he?
He does. He's from the sewer, too. Like Ninja Turtles,
You guys are always the ones when I say you're the hardest working podcasters. The time and effort you put into your craft puts the rest of us to shame, where most of us we watch some highlights, we roll up 30 minutes beforehand and we just talk it. The fact that you always consistently put out a top product and the effort you go into it is awesome. And I'm so glad now. I say when I look at the posts, because I've been following you guys for a while, everyone's on board with you. Everybody, I see the reactions to your posts. Everyone's totally into it. Everyone's on the bandwagon now. Everyone loves your show, and it's great to see. It's so much. I'm so pleased that people have realized that, hey, this is the show that you need to watch. And and all the other people, I have never heard anyone say a bad word about your podcast. Now, and the community that we are in, obviously wrestling as well, people like different things. Like some people like AEW, some people like WWE, and it's very polarizing. And same with podcasts. There are certain podcasts I don't like, certain ones I do like. I have never heard anybody say a bad word about your podcast. It's always positive, which is a testament to you two guys.
Well, thank you so much.
That was extraordinarily kind. Yeah, definitely.
I think we just have so much fun doing it. Yeah, we put a lot of time into it and a lot of effort, but it's a lot of laughs and, you know, a lot of rewards from the stories we're trying to tell and what we're trying to get across. So hearing that from you, who, you know, we've kind of looked at as our podcast dad of sorts, I think you found us when we were literally at, what, 20 followers or something like that, and maybe one or two episodes. So, yeah, thank you so much.
You guys, I'm sure it must just have been a tweet that I saw. Normally, I kind of look out for those episode ones, and I take a listen to them, and some are awful, and I never listen again. And some, it's like you find those diamonds in the rough, and you were definitely one of those guys straight away. And I would say, I think you might have been the quickest sign on ever to Visionaries Global Media. Like, I remember we kind of we talked about it a little bit, and then instantly was like, and the newest members of VGM are Brainbuster Boys. I was like, it was an easy decision to make, but that whole process happened so quick. It was great to see.
Yeah, we are happy to be here in the VGM family. That is for sure.
The veranda. I mean, you know, we've gone from that to like going to Milwaukee meeting.
Yeah. Chad
and Diesel and Tom and like really hitting it off super well, you know.
And then Tom came here for Dynamite Cincinnati 2 weeks later, which, it was just awesome meeting those guys. And even though they are involved in this Greg Goldman stuff somehow, like we still obviously love those guys. And yeah, just the personal relationships too with, again, even though he's toxic, someone like Micah or Derek from Specifically Devoid, Bishop, you know, we've just met so many great people that I know you've interacted with, and Justin, and so many others we can't even name. But, it's been a wild ride. And, shoot, we're like a month or so away from our first anniversary. So,
it'll
be a fun one. And I'm sure we'll probably come calling to you and Matt to get you guys involved some way. Because, you know, it's we haven't had a ton of, like, traditional guests on our show. So that's something I kind of want to do maybe for our anniversary show is just get a lot of the VGM people or others we've, you know, engaged with to kind of have a big celebration. So,
coinciding with that. Yeah, coinciding with Full Gear. So, you know, we kind of like our big big apex moments.
And that was our first episode was coming off of Full Gear 2020 last year as well. So, and it's always right around my birthday, which is November 9th. So, good time of year, and we're excited.
I'm still pissed that our school schedule, we always used to go back after Labor Day. So we used to, the teachers always start a little bit earlier. And normally I would have been in that part of the world around that time. And then they started to move it back. And now we go back before Labor Day. I would have been so into going to that event. That would have been awesome. I'm normally up around that area because I'm normally in Cleveland. Like I can skip up to that area. And this one year they started us even earlier than normal. It's like, oh, of all the years to actually find it. Hey, there'll be future wrestling events, I'm sure. But
I'm sure.
See, we're at least I'm from it. I know I went to public school at least, and I don't know if you know, like CovCath was like that, Brett. But we would always start. I don't think we've ever started after Labor Day.
Yeah, we were always like kind of late August. Typically.
I think now it's like pretty early August, like pretty shortly after that, which is kind of weird because my mom always talked about, you know, growing up, especially in rural Kentucky, you would start after Labor Day because of crops, because a lot of kids growing up would always have to work on the farm and stuff. And apparently a lot of stuff had to be cut and harvested before Labor Day. So that was kind of their reasoning behind that. Yeah.
I remember when I taught in North Carolina, it was, I think, first week in August. Like in England, we break up pretty much the last week in July. Like it's super late. I literally had one day's holiday when I first moved to the States. So it was school finishes in England. I had one day and then I moved to the States and then it was like, you got your week's training and you're straight into teaching. That was a brutal year. But when I went back to England, of course, I had the reverse and I had like a ridiculous amount of time off. But yeah, it varies from state to state for sure. Now, I don't know where this is going to fit in perfectly, but you had a little tease, Bo, online. So I don't know if this is where we ask you about it. So I saw you mentioned there was like a little picture. It's like an old school picture. Wrestling podcast. Visionaries Global Media presents. That looks sweet. And he was like, oh, well, we'll tell you about it in a few minutes. So I guess this is a perfect opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. Now, so remember, Brett, when I kind of got into making those noir logos for everybody, like those old sort of like golden age Hollywood logos. Yeah. So I tweeted that out today. I was like, hey, we're going to be on this podcast. And, you know, I hadn't like looked at it in a long time. I was like, I might as well just throw that out there. So we did one for you guys and VGM, I was just, or not VGM, but a View from the Top Rope, but I was just really into kind of, you know, sort of like this when I was kind of just sort of designing a lot of images for our show, and those were just kind of one thing. And yeah, you know, I just decided to throw it out there, and, you know, since you liked it, we'll definitely, you know, throw that out there more and throw out the View from the Top Rope one, you know. I thought it was.
I knew I'd seen them before, but it had been a long time, and I'm like, shoot, I don't even remember when you made those or why you made those.
Oh,
but,
I had to dig deep in my picture folder. You know, yeah. I definitely had to scroll through a lot because there's a lot on there from, oh, yeah. You know, like tons of the VGM logo, transparent, like copied and pasted, like probably about like 20 of them, you know, for making our own logo. But no, I, you know, just kind of got was into sort of making these very golden age of Hollywood logos for just different podcasts. You know, I just, it was just sort of a kick. You know, I think I was at work, so I was wasting time, obviously. But
did you say golden age or Goldman age?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Probably both.
Sorry.
That's all right.
All right, gentlemen. How about we talk some wrestling? How about we do some good cop moments?
Woo, yeah.
Right.
Good. Bad.
Hello, everybody. This is Micah from the Devoid brand. Now, we aren't just a wrestling podcast. We also have the titular, specifically Devoid podcast, our game show that's sweeping across the globe, Devoid Entertainment, and many other select programming you can only find on specifically Devoid. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, specifically Devoid, and follow us on Twitter at Devoid Podcast. That's capital D, capital P, to stay up to date on all things Devoid. I've been me, you've been you, and we'll see you later.
Good! Bad!
Alright, guests always get to go first, so I think we'll go alphabetical. Oh, it's pretty close, actually. Bo, what is your main good cop moment of the week?
Oh, alright, so this one I discovered today because there was a chunk of Dynamite, about 30 minutes, that I didn't watch because I was cooking. Uh-huh. So that was when the Arn and Cody promo happened, and we watched it on Sling, and I always have the closed captions, you know, pulled up, and I don't know how Sling generates those, if it's a person typing or a auto thing, but it's definitely not retroactively done, because the guy, when Arn was talking, I assume interpreted his accent, you know, sort of differently, and here's some of the phrases that it said. Whenever he referred to Cody's reality show, it was spelt reality shoal. S-H-O-A-L, like the beach landform, like muscle shoals, you know?
If only that had been for Bobby Fish, that would have been even better.
And then another one was whenever Arn was like, you threw us away, damn it. They put you flew, F-L-U-E.
F-L-U-E, like blue.
Flu, yeah. Which a flu, I forget. I should have looked this up. It's an actual thing, an F-L-U-E. And then, you know, there were some other ones that were just really kind of crazy. And I don't want to dog on this guy, because obviously this guy, instead of, oh, come on, it was, oh, common. And then instead of, that's a very expensive suit, it was, that's a very expensive assume.
This is a classic Beaumont good cop start here. Just
yeah.
Closed captioning fails. I love it.
I loved it. And there's some other ones. Something is symbolic. It was like 24 is symbombic.
Was this all in like a 30-minute
segment? Yeah, it was all in that segment, just all confined. And then when they went back to life, because the crazy thing was, like, I think that had to have been generated live, because the weird, you know, that segment was certainly filmed like days before.
Yeah.
You know, so whoever was doing that, just, I think autocorrect got the best of them or something.
What the heck is symbombic? That's not even.
I don't know. It was sim and then space, then bombic.
Sounds like a band name or something.
Yeah. For anyone who has Sling, you know, go back and watch it. Like, it's incredible. when I saw Reality Shoal, because, like, that sounded like how Arn would say it, the reality show. Yeah, it killed me. It killed me.
I guess.
There it is.
I think it's auto-generated. Now, I'm basing this on a year ago. So a year ago, when we went back to school, everything was all virtual. So I was in front of Zoom. I was relaying my lessons to students, et cetera, et cetera. But we had to record videos for students who wanted to work asynchronously. Like, they could work whenever they wanted, basically. They wanted to log on at 3 a.m. and watch a video, fine, they could do it whenever they wanted. Now, I don't know if it's just because of my accent as well, but same thing. For accessibility purposes, like, if we have deaf students, we have to check, like, the captions actually make sense with what we say. So I was doing that, and it's basically everything you just said. Like, it made no sense whatsoever. There was no context there at all. Trying to read mathematical symbols didn't make any sense at all. And I tried it for one. For a 10-minute video, it took me about 90 minutes to correct all the subtitles.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I cannot do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. It's too much. And they said, well, you kind of have to, because it's like a legal issue. I can't physically do this. So anyway, I said a compromise. I said, how about if I put on the video, if you request subtitles, I will provide them. And they were like, that sounds like the perfect way around this. And nobody requested subtitles, thank God, or else I would never. Yeah, it's definitely, I'm not sure if it is just the accent, but yeah, it goes with context. And for math words as well, some of them just aren't good. Like, even if you're just counting 1, 2, 3, 4, like, there's different types of four, obviously. There's there's the golfing F-O-R-E, there's the number F-O-U-R. So obviously sometimes it has to guess which one you're saying as well. So that's never helpful as well. But yeah, subtitles are a nightmare. I watch YouTube for my highlights and it has those closed captions. I never put the closed captions on because it's wrestling. So I don't normally care what the commentators say. I am going to start watching it with closed captions.
It's a real joy. And I just love, you know, especially if it's a computer, that this is what the computer thinks Arn Anderson is saying. it made it, because that was like a very serious, you know, and like I was just kind of laughing throughout it.
Well, even though it was serious, I was still laughing because this storyline is hilarious to me, and I love what Arn is doing here. And it's, you know, Cody, at least he threw the tie in the fire, and we obviously need to see some sort of character change from him, so hopefully it's coming.
Yeah. And he was more upset about the suit burning instead of Arn Anderson starting a trash can fire on his property.
In his backyard while he was trying to sleep. Yeah,
technically a controlled burn? I don't know if it is, man. Like,
yeah, amazing segment.
Yeah. All right, Brett, what have you got for us?
I mean, it's easy.
How do you follow that?
I've got the shirt on. Hangman Adam Page returns. Wins the Casino Battle Royal to become number one contender for the AEW World Championship. I felt like a little kid at home watching this, and like, I was nervous and anxious once Moxley came out and that 2-minute clock was coming, because it's like, you think it's going to be Hangman, but Buddy Matthews was teasing that he was going to be the Joker, and we just, you know, we didn't know enough about what was going on with Hangman. But I think we all kind of hoped and wished it was going to be him. And I loved that they didn't even waste a second. When that clock hit zero, his song hit, the pop, you could just see the look on his face when he came out. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. But I was yelling on my couch, and I was nervous even when he came out. But like, I think I told Bo this and one of our other buddies, like, I've not been this like locked into a wrestler, a wrestling character. Like CM Punk in 2011, Danielson in 2013, 14, and now this. And now somehow they're all in AEW, which is even crazier. But it was a great moment, great match. The dead eye to Pack off the ladder was insane. Even I rewatched it, and they did it very safely. Hangman really kind of took the bump through the table. But him and Moxley going at it, like, that's a match we haven't seen. And Hangman got Moxley to be booed. That's how over he is. But again, I could talk all day about this, and I know we're going to talk about it on our show too, but that's the moment, and I think clearly we're setting up this match against Kenny at Full Gear, and buckle up. Let's go.
Seat and belt buckle.
What do you think, Bo?
Oh, about Hangman?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is sort of a devil's advocate-y thing.
Uh-huh.
Stumbled over that one twice, but I've been thinking ever since I saw that, which you know, I echo what Brett said. I thought that was really cool, but I kind of wondered. I'm like, okay, like, is that the best way they could have brought him back? And the more I've thought about it, like, you know, the more I've been like, kind of like, yeah, you know, without like sort of this big, you know, a build up or like right in the middle of like some big storyline moment, just in, you know, Battle Royale, last person out, you know. I thought that was just a very like unassuming way of doing it, but also with the buildup, just with people talking about it online and stuff, you know, like it was, you know, it just felt like very natural and organic way to bring him back. So no, I thought it was really cool. And I guess another thing I'm wondering about that too is, you know, they, you know, on Dynamite, just that very first match was the Elite against the Jungle Express Club, you know, in France. And yeah, like, so I guess because that match didn't really seem to have like a sense of finality with that feud. So what are they going to do with that? Are they just going to kind of, you know, let that feud just disappear completely? Or is Hangman going to kind of get involved in it? You know, I'm interested to see that too.
Yeah, that's the question, is how does Danielson and all that fit into this? But going to be exciting.
The thing I particularly liked about it was, sometimes I feel on some of those WWE ones, when you've got the 30 people coming in, sometimes you've got your mid-carders in because it's like the only chance that they get to shine. Like, hey, okay, come away from catering, let's get you in this. I felt watching this one, like every person that came out was like somebody I was excited about. Like, particularly with Orange Cassidy being in there as well. I was straight away, I was hyped for this. And then you see as they're coming out one after another, and then Moxley's coming out as well. And there was just like so many different people I really enjoyed in that one. And then there was always something going on in the ring. You've got those individual matchups. I really enjoyed that side of it for sure. I thought it worked really well. I gotta stop talking at this point though, because I might want to address it in a later segment possibly as well. I figured you guys would probably talk about AEW. So Matt normally talks about WWE and he's not here, so I know I'm normally safe if I talk about the indies. So that was definitely my good cop moment, main good cop moment for the week. There was a lot of stuff on just over the, we're recording this Saturday morning, so most of the stuff for the weekend is still to come. I know there's big events going on in Atlantic City, but Thursday was the return of Beyond Wrestling's season 3 of their show. Some great matches within that straight away. Wheeler Yuta versus Layla Hirsch. Obviously, as AEW people, you're familiar with that. But I love those intergender matches. And for most of the time, I still have to go back to the indies to watch that type of matchup. I don't think mainstream TV is quite ready for that. Masha Slamovich and Matt Mikowski versus Yokai, Janai Kai, and Yo-Yo. I like that. There's a lot of people from my local area featured in this as well. Kings of the District, Eel O'Neil and Jordan Blade versus Trisha Dora and Club Cam. Like to see that as well. And the main event, Alex Shelley and Daniel Garcia. Now, obviously, Daniel Garcia had a big match as well with CM Punk. I hope I'm getting that right. I'm hoping
that is correct.
I watched a lot of matches in the last 24 hours.
It was just last night, so yeah.
Correct. That's what I think. So yeah, obviously Daniel Garcia is somebody who's been featuring a lot of these big matches recently, but that was the main event there. So great show to check out. And then Friday night, oh my goodness, there was just so much going on. The one that I really like is the event that was run by IWTV. It was called Untitled. And the reason I liked it is it was promoting other organizations. Now, normally you have your like your H2Os, you have your Beyond, and then you just watch the whole card for this. Each match was a different organization and it was some sort of title match. Gosh. Now, I can't think of a better way of putting over these, I don't want to say smaller organizations, that's probably not quite fair, but putting over other organizations by highlighting the cream of the crop from each of them on match after match after match. So as you're watching this, you might be like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I might go and check this one out. I thought it worked really well. I haven't seen the whole thing because it was about 3 hours, but I kind of dipped in it this morning and seen probably about an hour and a half. Camp Leapfrog was featured. Action Wrestling, AIW Tag Team Championship, Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Championship, the Women's Wrestling Revolution was in there as well, H2O, so you got your Triangle of Violence Deathmatch. I haven't actually watched that one yet. Limitless was on there as well. There's just such a wide variety of different matches that they managed to put in there, and I think it works really well. Some of those wrestlers you might not be familiar with if they're just from specific organizations, but I thought it was the perfect way to promote some of that talent. And a little spoiler alert, MGB was off air last week because we had a few little behavior issues, but we are going to be back this week, and we will definitely be reviewing some of those matches. I think the one I picked out straight away, because we're fans of both of these people, the Action Wrestling Championship, Arik Royal versus O'Shea Edwards. O'Shea Edwards was our last interview that we did before COVID hit, actually. Wow. We did that, and then literally a week later, COVID hit, and then that was it. So we didn't get to see any live wrestling for a long time. Big fans of O'Shea Edwards. So glad that he's over in Ring of Honor. The guy's got everything. He's a great wrestler, really nice guy. He's got the promo skills, so I think that's one that Mason and I will be watching probably later today at some point.
Excellent. Yeah, a lot of those names I don't even know. Definitely know some of them, but I think that's a really cool concept, though, of like different promotions getting to show off their title matches and whatever. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be a good, you know, like definitely sell tickets, like in terms of attending. You know, if I'm picking an indie show to go to, you know, that's definitely a big sell.
I thought that was a really novel concept. I'm kind of surprised that that hasn't happened really before. Like, you get all your big names on one card. Obviously, the fans are definitely going to want to see that. Who knows that? But if you was trying to get an introduction to indie wrestling, I think that's a perfect way of doing it. I'm hoping that that's going to be, the next one will be like Untitled 2, or I'm hoping it's something that they're going to do more regularly. But yeah, definitely one worth checking out on IWTV if you have that. All right, let's see if there's anything else to do. Gentlemen, I should have asked ahead of time. Do you have like a timer on your phones easily available? If we do, we'll do it that way. I'm delegating responsibility going forward, okay? So yeah. We have up to a minute if there is anything else that we would like to talk about. As Matt's not here, it's always funny if you go over a little bit because he gets really upset by that. So if you want to take a minute, 15 seconds, 2 minutes, feel free, and then he'll be upset next week, which always makes even more entertaining podcasting. Bo, anything else that caught your eye that you'd consider positive? Anything else that's a good cop moment this week?
This week, specifically to Void, we'll shout them out. They released their T-shirt line this week with a certain logo that a certain person who may or may not be talking right now designed. So but before I got on here, so the reason I kind of had issues was my browser crashed and I had it pulled up. I was getting ready to order it. I had like my size picked out and everything. So so I'm getting it. They better give me credit. So.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But the toxic Micah shirt. So yeah, I always thought like it would just be just a good graphic design period. So it's going to be a great shirt to wear during the fall too. I'm going to be able to put flannel shirts over it. I have a huge array of shirts that are great for flannel undershirts. So I think it has a really promising career as one of those in my
wardrobe. And I can confirm that Bo did make the design the night of Double or Nothing. I was there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And what else? I guess this was missing this week, but this is just something that's just been happening, I guess, in AEW that's been one of my favorite things to watch are those over the line MJF promos. Yeah, they're just too much fun, and I'm just always sort of eager how he's going to kind of push it each week. And it kind of, you know, incorporates sort of a cringe element that I don't think is really present in a lot of other wrestling. That's something I like.
I've had to sit on the news for this a while. If you've designed the shirts, you've probably known for a while as well. But as one of their Patreon supporters, I got the breaking news that, hey, these are the T-shirts. They'll be coming out soon. You got to stay quiet. I was like, all right, I'll stay quiet. Because I said, oh, as soon as I can, I'm going to wait until they have like probably around Thanksgiving. I'm going to guess they're going to do their 20% off sale or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to wait once you finally do release them, and then I'll try and get on that right there. But no, I actually like the specifically Devoid design because it was I was like, it's not that I don't like it. It's like I just prefer the specifically Devoid one. So yeah. I think there was three designs I saw. So it wasn't like if they'd have only had one design, I would have still bought the T-shirt anyway. But as I get the choice, I'm going to go with a specifically Devoid one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just really excited for when like I wear that out and people are like, what is that? And I get to explain to random people.
Yeah.
Yeah. About it.
Yeah. That would make sense to anybody. So no, that's a perfect little icebreaker then. All right, sure. Brett, what have you got? Anything else you saw that was good?
Yeah, I got some rapid fires here. Of course, I would be remiss not to mention the G1 Climax. I've been loving that. You know, a bit of a downfield this year because certain guys couldn't get over there, but been really loving it. Okada, Jeff Cobb, currently undefeated on a collision course for the block final. Both those guys have looked dominant. Zack Sabre Jr., similarly in the A block, has been incredible. Shingo Takagi, Kota Ibushi, Tomohiro Ishii, of course. I'm loving it. The Pro Wrestling NOAH N1 final was recently between Kenno and Katsuhiko Nakajima. Incredible match. Some of the stiffest kicks I've ever seen in my life. Just want to shout out to Kevin Kelly, who's killing the commentary at the G1 and doing a lot of it solo. And that guy's just so damn good and just makes watching wrestling better. Hikaru Shida on Dynamite after several months not being seen. She lost in her attempt at 50 wins against Serena Deeb, tapped out. awesome match, I thought, and I'm sure we're probably going to get a rematch on that, but just great to see Sheeta back on Dynamite. And one more moment from Dynamite that I absolutely loved was in that opening eight-man tag. After Christian took the Indy Taker outside, they were kind of looking at him, and then Matt Jackson super kicks Jungle Boy, and then Marco Stunt's like, hey, what's going on? And then he hammered Marco Stunt with one of the best super kicks I've ever seen, and probably the best thing Matt Jackson has ever done. I just thought it was so funny, and I loved it. And one thing real quick you said about Daniel Garcia, both Alex Shelley and CM Punk put him over huge. Alex Shelley said it was a privilege to share the ring with him, and Punk said he's light years beyond where he should be at age 23. So bright future for that guy. And I think he's fighting, or he fought Suzuki last night, and he's fighting Davey Richards tonight. Like, the guy is just running the gamut of indie and mainstream stars. And the future is very bright for the 23-year. That is all my good stuff. Oh, and shout out to the TBS title for the women's division in AEW. Hopefully that'll kind of add some more steam to that division, which I think has been getting better and better throughout this year. But I thought it should have been a trios title for the next title in AEW, but it's still pretty cool. Belt looks cool.
Yeah, the baby blue in it. I like that.
Yep. Yeah, Daniel Garcia, just incredible. Such a young age. There's so many people like that on the indies. Like, there's people who are wrestling right now who are 17, 18, and 19, and they just look so polished. It's ridiculous.
Like, Dante Martin is 20. Yeah. And I mean, I remember Chad and Diesel and Tom said they'd seen him when he was 17 or 18 in the indies up in Milwaukee. And, like, I said it, we've said it on our show, like, that kid's a future world champ. He's 20, and he's already this good, and he got a brief chance on the microphone this week and sounded really good, and he hasn't really talked much. So, equally excited about him as well.
Yeah, he's got this thing with, what is it, Leo Rush going? You know, so now he's got, now he's just not just a guy who's just in matches. He's got some story stuff.
And so that's, a feud coming with Malakai Black, or a match, I think, next week on Dynamite. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's only been on my radar for about a month. And the first time I saw matches, I think it was like AEW Dark Elevation or something. It was one of the smaller shows. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, I'd heard the name. And then now, as soon as I see that name, I'm like, I'm going to look actively to go find his matches. Yeah, very impressive. I just got one thing for my speed check. I saw Braun Strowman had an interview this week. I'm going to read you his quote. Unbelievably blessed for my time in WWE, but it was very, very time consuming. In 5 years, I saw my parents like 8 times. I missed people's funerals, weddings, births, Christmas, Thanksgiving. The time was amazing, don't get me wrong, but I'm a human being and I have needs when it comes to comfort. I'm very close with my parents, and being able to work on my friends on a project, work on an app, doing all the other stuff that I've coming out soon that I can talk about more, just being able to live and going back to my grassroots. This is one of the biggest things coming out of the narrative. Remember who the F I was. Just a couple of things from that. One, we need to be very appreciative of our wrestlers. They put a lot of things on the back burner for things like that. They constantly miss those events that we just talked about, children's birthdays, etc., etc. And just the fact that Braun's turned down a lot of money from the sides of it, and I can believe it. A lot of those people have jumped straight to another organization. He's taken a little time for himself. I'm so glad that he's done that. I think that is important, doing some of those other fun things. And Orange Cassidy, I didn't realize his record this year on AEW, 18-1-1 after his victory against Nick Comoroto. I was excited when he was joining AEW. I never thought he would have that level where he would be that over, and nothing could make me happier. Love Orange Cassidy. Love that everybody else loves Orange Cassidy. And so happy that he's not somebody who has a record of like 3-16-1 or something similar to that.
Absolutely. He's the best.
He is a unique talent for sure, and I'm so glad that if he'd gone to WWE, I think he would have been ruined. It would have been, who knows what his name would have been, but he wouldn't have been allowed to do that gimmick, that's for sure. So, it works perfectly. All right, we've talked a lot of good stuff. I'm sure there was bad stuff as well, so let's move on to those bad cop moments.
Good!
All right, we'll reverse the order this time, so Brett, I'll let you go first. What was your main bad cop moment of the week?
Yeah, and this is something we've talked about, I feel like, almost every week on our show recently, is just AEW Dynamite specifically, their commercial timing and how they've kind of timed their shows has just been really poor. There was one this week, I think it was during the Sheeta Serena Deeb match where they just cut to the commercial in the middle of like a big move on the apron. And the announcers, you know, they usually say, join us for picture and pick, but there was nothing and it just went away. But, and again, I think it was the Darby match. It's like a 6-minute match and there's a commercial in the middle. It shouldn't be that hard to time out your commercials to just get the maximum action. And just, it's just frustrating because it's like you're missing good stuff. And yeah, it's picture in picture, but it's still hard to kind of really pay attention during picture in picture. And even then, like sometimes the picture in picture will go away during the break and it's like, what the heck? But just largely, like, I think it's such a little thing, but it's so important. And, you know, I'm such an AEW mark, like, I rarely talk bad about them. But I think this is one thing that it's like, it really hinders the show a little bit. Like, it doesn't deter my enjoyment really that much. But it's like, if they could just fix these things, then just, it would just make it that much better. But yeah, that's kind of the thing that keeps sticking out to me. And it really agitated me during that Sheeta-Serena Deeb match.
Oh,
all right. So kind of in a similar vein. So CM Punk was on Rampage this week and he's going to be on Rampage again next week. And, you know, I kind of wish he would just be more of a Dynamite person. And I know they're kind of, you know, having Dynamite sort of be more of sort of your A storyline. And he's just kind of not there yet. But, you know, Rampage, it starts, you know, I think every time but one or two I've watched it after, because, you know, it's at 10 on a Friday night. And if you have Friday plans, that is the witching hour. Like, it's right in the middle of it. And so I wish CM Punk, you know, would be, they would book him less on Rampage and just kind of more on Dynamite, just kind of get him, you know, because, you know, that match with Garcia was great, you know, and it succeeded in like being awesome, a good match and putting Garcia over, you know, and I just wish they would kind of get him on more stuff, like more Dynamite oriented things. You know, I wish he was kind of more of a Dynamite guy versus a Rampage guy, but I get that they're trying to, you know, sell Rampage. I'm sure Rampage gets way less, you know, views and ratings than Dynamite does, you know, just by virtue of its time slot. So I feel like that, you know, with AEW, I'm imagining that's something they think they got to do to really sell it. Like, let's get a guy like CM Punk that can be a draw in and of himself. But I, you know, still just kind of wish he was more on the main show.
One, I actually have a point to this that I think is something we haven't talked about, but I've noticed with Rampage, they've used a lot of the same guys and women each week and kind of had almost Rampage storylines. Like the Bunny has been on Rampage a lot. Miro was defending the TNT title a lot on Rampage. Let's not forget CM Punk debuted on Rampage. Yes. Had his first TV match on Rampage. Got attacked by Daniel Garcia on Rampage to set this up. So I don't disagree with you, but it's just something I have noticed and that we haven't talked about that I think is kind of cool that they're kind of, and it's not everyone, but they've featured a lot of the same types of people and storylines on Rampage specifically. But I'm sure we're going to be starting to see Punk on Dynamite sooner rather than later. But yeah, that match against Garcia was wonderful.
I'm glad Tony Khan listened to Good Cop, Bad Cop last week, because one of the Bad Cop moments was people shouting out CM Punk and for the whole time while he's on commentary and kind of ruined some of the other matches, and made the obvious suggestion that you put him on first. You get it out of your system, you've already seen him, and then you don't need to, you're not going to get the chance again because you know he's not coming for a second match. And sure enough, on Rampage, he was the first match, or he was on my highlights at least anyway.
Yeah, he was.
That was good. Now, Bo, I apologize. I was wondering if you had anything to talk about the commercial side of the thing. I want to talk about, I want to go back to your point, Brett. So the commercials, obviously on Raw as well, you have similar issues. And it's one of the reasons why, even if I could watch live, I don't watch live. So by watching the highlights, nobody's putting in the commercials. They're cutting all that stuff out. So you're getting focused on the action. When it's picture in picture, sometimes they have to when it's some of the important stuff. To me, like, it would seem, and I don't know if they don't do this, but it would seem like, wouldn't you want to cut out the least important part of your show, which for me is the entrances of some of the minor people. Like for CM Punk, yes, you want to see him walk out because, you know, there's a big reaction. I'm not going to name names, but if you've got your mid-carders and that, do you really need to see them walk down and give people a few high fives and blah, blah, blah? To me, that seems like an obvious 2 or 3 minutes that you could cut out. You could just have both people in the ring straight away. You don't even need the introductions because you can put a caption on the bottom that says wrestler A versus wrestler B. That would seem a much better way of doing it. Now, you're nodding right now, so that would suggest to me that, as a fact, you would much rather...
Couldn't agree more.
Than cut out part of the match.
Absolutely. Especially when it's like a 6-minute match and you have a 3-minute commercial right in the middle of it. Like there was one match recently, I can't even remember, maybe last week, that ended, I think it was Darby and Nick Comoroto. It was like a 4 or 5 minute match with a 2 or 3 minute commercial. And then it ended 10 seconds after coming back. It's like, really? So yeah, I'll give them a little credit this week in the opener, the 8-man tag. They actually showed the entrances on social media beforehand, and they were promoting that. Like, tune into our social media at 7:50 to see the entrances. They start the show, everyone's in the ring. They quickly introduce everyone and went. So that's good. Yeah. But just need a little more consistency. And like you said, it just kind of takes you out of some of the matches, especially. Mm-hmm. And again, when it's like a hot moment in a match, like in that Serena Deeb Sheeta match, it just cut away. Like they were doing a big move on the apron, and I'm like, what the heck just happened? So, great point, Graham.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when they sort of are, you know, omitting sort of the middle of these, you know, smaller mid-card matches. It's like they're making almost like a sacrifice in their mind, I think. They're like, well, you know, we're just going to kind of, you know, sort of neuter this match. We're going to kind of, you know, cut it short and then, you know, like, that's kind of, you know, versus like cutting corners in like different little areas, like you all were saying, like cutting intro music to kind of mid-card people or whatnot, or throwing stuff on social media. That's a good idea. You know, instead of just having to just, you know, sacrifice like a part of a match and just be like, well, we just got to live with it. I don't think that has to be your reality.
It is one of the reasons why I do like, and I know they're not as popular as the Dynamite and Rampage, I do like the Monday shows and the Tuesday shows. Like, they cut out all that stuff. Like, it just, there's no commercials or anything. You're just going match to match to match. Sometimes they have a few too many matches. I would agree with that. But I like the conciseness of it. And I think that works pretty well. That's one of the entrances in general, I don't really care about. I don't need to see it every single week. On the pay-per-views, yes, I want to see those entrances. And that's probably one of the things why we all like the pay-per-views. Like, it's continuous, there's no interruptions, you don't get those breaks. WWE started to put a few in, which kind of sucks. But hey, well, in general, it's good. IWTV, one of the reasons why I do like it as well, you just get matches. You don't have those commercials because it's a subscription service. I do find myself, though, I don't try and watch live. I try and watch when they upload it, like, the day after or whatever, because then I can skip out those times. Like, that three-hour show, that's a big commitment to try and watch a three-hour show. But if I can sit and go, all right, this match is finished now, I don't need to see them leave the ring, give everyone a high five around the outside. Click, a few minutes later, and then go straight to the next match, that's more my thing. So, yeah, how you watch your wrestling, I think, is important. And as a fan, it can break it up when you have those commercials there, for sure. I guess it's my bad cop moment then. Now, I don't know much about this. I'm going from a story. I did listen to the podcast, and I must have listened to the wrong episode because I didn't hear this. Or it's because I listened at times 3 and I was distracted and I didn't really concentrate what was going on. But this is from, I can't remember the name of the podcast. All right, well, I'm just going to go with a story. This is from Squared Circle. Mark Henry and Bully Ray defended bullying and shooting on guys on, Busted Open.
Busted Open, yeah.
There we go. On this week's masterclass, both Mark Henry, who I find it particularly disturbing from as he works with AEW Young Talent now, and Bully Ray go on a lengthy rant in which they defend the actions of people like JBL and Bully himself taking advantages of other wrestlers in the ring, beating them up for real or perceived lack of respect and other such bullshit. It really had to be almost heard to be believed. At one point, Bully even boasts about slapping one La Resistance as hard as he could across the face backstage after that wrestler complained about how rough he was in the ring with him and that he was green and not used to it. And that was all the quote. That was from the person who wrote for that article. In 2021, I'm kind of appalled by that. When I first read that, I was like, with all the things that have been going on, the things that you've seen on Dark Side of the Ring, things that happened 20 years ago, and you look now and it's like, look, this just doesn't age well at all. You would have thought that those two gentlemen could have recognized that in 2021, that's not a good side to be promoting at all. As a teacher, particularly when I used to be a coach, the fact that I'm sure we were all aware of these issues, things like hazing in sport, like it was always that kind of tradition that you bully the younger people. Like it's partly in jest, but sometimes it would go too far. That stuff's all been cut out now. Like the hazing is gone. All that stuff has gone, and it's been more about, hey, why don't we be a team? Why can't we be nice to each other? Why can't we be a collective and work together and all those things? And when I saw that story, it really did stink of old guys who don't know what's going on anymore, who, I don't want to say not relevant because that's not fair, but their time has passed and the next generation's here. Why would you want to bring up things like that? Why would you want to brag about that as well? And the fact that you even mentioned this stuff is still going on and you still kind of advocate for it. And like the person said, Mark Henry's working with some of the younger people in AEW at all. Mm-hmm. In a week where it's National Bullying Month as well within schools right now, as in the awareness of the issues and trying to crack down on stuff like that, it was very poor timing, and I was very disappointed in those two gentlemen in particular.
I agree. I didn't listen to it, but I, of course, saw it on Reddit and everything else and Twitter. And, yeah, it's pretty shocking to hear Mark Henry. I think he said something like, people now are soft or something like that. No. You know, we've heard enough about how the business used to be and guys like JBL and, you know, whomever bullying people. It's like there's no place for that anymore. You know, it's a different era in wrestling. It's a different business. And, you know, in AEW specifically, like you hear so much about how it is like a family atmosphere and everyone gets along and helps each other out. And then Mark Henry, who's new to the company and like, not really that great as an announcer is what he's been doing. But I've always liked the guy and, you know, wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. But then you see this and it's like, what the hell? And like, yeah, why are you, like you said, almost bragging about it? And yeah, I agree. Not a good look. And I don't know. I don't think Tony Khan or AEW have addressed this at all with him. Like, have you seen anything? Yeah, me neither. But yeah, agreed. Pretty bad stuff and, you know, just not good all around.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. You know, it just kind of reminds me of, you know, people who kind of like to label things snowflake, participation trophy. You know, it kind of reminds me of that whole litany of complaints. And, you know, to me, like, I hate that, you know, these people have a platform to be influential with it. You know, I always like to think of it, you know, sort of proactively, optimistically, as the last gasps of a dying sort of worldview or reality. But yeah, you know, definitely bizarre just to kind of hear people, especially like you said, with Dark Side of the Ring, with, you know, all this attention and effort being made to sort of expose that previously toxic culture, you know, behind the scenes in wrestling. Yeah, it just seems like, you know, definitely one step backward with that, and just, you know, hate it that it gets attention.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Brett. I hadn't even thought about that. I haven't heard AEW address it at all.
Yeah.
Like, when Max Caster comes out with those promos, like
that was quick. That was swift. Very quick. Tony Khan came down on him quick.
5 years ago, like that was still brought back up again, and they addressed it instantly. Yeah. They put people on their like training program or rehabilitate and things like that. And I haven't heard a single word with that. I think one thing I want to be clear about, and I think we'll see if you agree with this. This was not being a heel. This was not like a promo or anything. This wasn't to generate heat or anything. This is these people. This is their real. This is not the wrestlers. This is the people, and that's how they feel.
Yep. Again, without listening to it and just from what I was reading, I garnered that as well, that like, this is how they feel and this is what they think even still today. And yeah, again, for someone especially like Mark Henry, who just got hired, just not what you want to be saying or how you want to be representing yourself or the company. So yeah, it's a bad look.
All right. Any additional moments that we have? We've got around a minute. We're going to be particularly vague. Brett, anything else that caught you?
Yeah, a couple. Local guy actually went to my high school as well. Wildcat Chris Harris got a DUI this week. You know, obviously something you never like to see. I know I follow a couple of the local indie promotions here. I haven't been to a show in a while because obviously COVID, and I just haven't gone to a ton in general. But like I've seen he's been wrestling here in the local indies. And, you know, he was a guy like, I was out of wrestling for like an 8-year period in the 2000s. And like when I'd heard about him later, he's like, yeah, you went to your high school. I'm like, wow. And like last year went back and watched a lot of his like TNA matches. And the guy had some great stuff with James Storm as a tag team against each other. I'm like, wow. And yeah, just a bummer to see that. I mean, you know, hopefully he's okay and can, you know, get his stuff figured out. And then other than that, hearing these reports that Alberto Del Rio is claiming that he's going to be returning to WWE, similar, like, again, I know he's had many legal issues back when he was with Paige and even since, stuff that I haven't even been reading or following, but it's like, really? Like, do you really want to, does WWE really need this guy? Does anyone really want to see this guy? Like, there was a period in 2010, 11, 12 when he first came on that I liked the guy and liked what he was doing, but all the stuff in his personal life and everything, it's like, just stay away. We don't need to see you anymore.
WWE, they're so hypocritical. They have suits them. If it's somebody they want to get rid of, they will call on that immediately. And if it's somebody that they want, then they'll have the blinkers on and they'll do whatever they like.
Matt's not here, so we can trash WWE.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to be listening on his train ride home on Monday.
Oh, so. And I meant to say this in the intro, not to just like cut it off, but interesting that Sting still hasn't won the AEW World title, huh, Graham?
Oh, we forgot about that. It was good that that happened, and we did mention it on, I think we did it on our pre-show, but yes, I said that I would be happy, rather than try and collect the money from him, I would be happy to donate it to the cause. You graciously agreed the same thing, so we got an extra $20 in for the prostate cancer awareness fund, I think it is. So yeah, he did a great job over that last month. I know when we talked last week, he said how difficult that was to do 11,000 steps every single day for 30 steps. If you're tired, bad luck, you got to go do it. So I know for him, that was a great achievement. And for that, it was kind of like, hey, I want to push that even more. So
for sure. Yeah. I was certainly happy to donate my $10 to the cause and, you know, very happy, you know, with Matt, we've been following it on Twitter, but good stuff. And, Sting will never become AEW world champ. He never was going to. So that was easy money. Maybe he knew that he was going to be doing this and he knew that we would donate it to that. So, yeah, that was hilarious.
I still got to cash in. I have, I haven't claimed it yet. I have 3 free Coney Island hot dogs as well. His prediction was for the Premier League soccer that Matt, we were talking about who we think would finish in the top 4. And I gave him my list and then he gave me his list. And it was like, oh, no, I gave him my list. And he said, Manchester City won't even finish in the top 4. And I'm like, you're crazy. And then, of course, the phrase came out, do you want to bet on it? And I was like, jump straight. Okay. And now I kind of preempt that because I know I'm getting some free money, free food, whatever. And they ran away with the title. It wasn't close. So some of his predictions are a little from left field, but he's prepared to put his money on them at the same time. So AEW is not going to make Sting the champion. They're going to make him he doesn't need to be. Like, he's
I'm surprised he is. And you know, back when we talked, like, no one knew what he was going to be doing, but we've talked a lot about it. Like, the fact that he's been this good wrestling, hasn't gotten hurt, and has looked active and spry at 62 years old. Like, it's been great. I love it.
I remember when he first took that big power bomb from Brian Cage. We were like, oh, God. That looked like it really hurt. And then he's taken like a zillion of them since then.
Yeah.
You know, like just about every time he's in the ring. The
table.
Yeah. Just about every time he's been in there, it's been, you know, putting somebody in Scorpion Deathlock or whatnot. So he's been very physically involved. Just about every time he comes out there.
Bo, anything else that caught your eye that was a bad cop moment? Anything else that was not so good this week?
Okay, two things. One that happened like literally 90 minutes ago. First thing, wrestling thing. I'm worried that Jay Cargill's going to win that pretty TBS title, and I'm already annoyed. Her stick is just worn. I mean, I remember when we first came out, like when she had that promo with Cody, where like, didn't she like pour a glass of water on him or something? And we were like, who is that? Like, in a very fascinated way. And we went from that to the Shaq fight to now. And it's just been a very disappointing just arc going from intrigue to annoyance. So I don't know. I just want something to change with that, especially since she wins all the time and she's featured and they got this new title and she's like right in the middle of it.
Well, hey, so at least our girl Thunder Rosa came out to attack her.
It makes me wonder, though, like, you know, eventually are they going to pull her away from that storyline to deal with Britt? Because that's got to be where the Britt thing ultimately is.
Well, so they've got this TBS title tournament, too, that's separate from Britt, of course. Yeah. So people are now kind of speculating a Jade Cargill Thunder Rosa final in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good secondary women's story, but yeah, who's going to be the next challenger for Britt? Because we thought it would be one of those two women. So
I think it'll ultimately be Thunder Rosa, which is why I think Jade's probably going to win that. But anywho, 90 minutes ago, so you I ordered a crepe. That's kind of what I've been doing. for whenever we start recording early. It's like, I need a substantial breakfast. You know, if you like get traditional brunch, it gets cold really fast, you know. So that's a non-starter. So I get this crepe and I call it in and I'm like, hey, I want this and that on it. They're like, what's your name? And I say, Bo. So whenever I do that, like whenever you do that at like a Starbucks, you know, they'll ask for your name at Penn Station, which I don't know if they have those in North Carolina, Graham, but they're a Cincinnati-based sub chain that's really good.
I've heard of it. I've certainly been through that area.
Oh, it's really good. It's great. It's like got those fries that you want to put malt vinegar on and dip in mayonnaise. Very good fries.
That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, my name, I'm B-E-A-U, Bo. But like whenever people ask for my name and I give it to them, I get all these kinds of crazy spellings. And, you know, I kind of, whenever people like are like, oh, B-O, I kind of just say, yeah, you know, I don't really correct them because I like to see like what kind of crazy spellings I get. It's a game that I play. So I got this one on top of my crepe today. And, this guy had to have been Micah Pellegrini levels of drunk. Because he wrote this, you'll see.
Is that Boo?
Yeah, B. Like it was Boo, but then it looks like they gave up on the last O.
Yeah, the O is like, yeah.
Yeah,
I bet it was probably the guy who was doing the closed captioning for Sling.
Oh, probably to bring that back. Yeah.
Are you sure it's not just a Halloween themed crepe?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
It doesn't matter. I can say all they're going to do is they're just going to read the name to you. So as long as they read it how you want it said, in theory, it doesn't matter. So I think you're right. Just go ahead with whatever they say.
Oh, yeah. No,
here's your crepe, Bo. And then you look on it and it says B.O. Then fair enough. Now, I'm wondering, though, is that more because now of the comedian? And I don't remember his last name exactly. Is it Bo Barnum? Bo Barnum?
Burnham.
Burnham. Yeah. Like, he's really popular right now. So I know that's a B.O., I believe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it there tends to not be a trend. You know, I guess if there's a common sort of misspelling, it's always been B.O. I just have a blast with it. Like, it's just the source of endless fascination for me, you know.
Well, I'd like you to try then, because Bo's easier to spell. I'd like to give them your full name. I'd like to see what they make of Beaumont. I would be really curious to see what they do for that. And I think that would be even more interesting. Like, would they really put B-O and then Mont? See, I'm thinking, if you say Beaumont, I am only thinking of the spelling that I can see right there in front of you. I can't think of any other spelling at all. Like, if it's Bo, then in my head, there is a possibility it could be one or the other. So I would be curious, if you say Beaumont, whether they would increase the accuracy of the spelling or whether they would decrease the accuracy of the spelling.
Yeah, now, I'd rather give that a shot.
And like a lot of people, I guess, you know, the reference I get is the town in Texas. I also found out this week that Jordan Peele, the director and part of Key and Peele, his son is named Beaumont. So Beaumont Peele. There's that. I thought that was really cool. I like Jordan Peele.
You know who's from Beaumont, Texas?
Who?
Former Red Jay Bruce.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Red King. Legend.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah. Longtime Louisville bat, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Him and Corky Miller. I think he was on those teams with Votto too. Votto was playing for the Bats.
Votto came up like a year or two prior, but yeah, they were pretty. They definitely had some crossover, but
oh yeah, and they were there for a long time too.
Is that minor league team still there? That was one of the first minor league teams I went to when I was doing my tour in the country. The Bats.
They're still there. That field is. Pretty nice.
There's
there's a microbrewery in there. It's called Against the Grain. It's like the biggest biggest distribution wise in town. So there's a lot going on there. There used to be a minor league soccer team that played there, but now it's now they got their own stadium. So,
yeah, I worked for the Louisville Bats in 2009 actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did?
I did.
Yeah, I toured I went to tour the museum because that was like, I got to go do that. And then the evening I just hung around and went to see a Bats game because it's like, that's what I do. I collect baseball stadiums. But long, long time ago, I'm hoping to revisit some of those certainly in the future. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Now, the problem I have is when I give my name is, because I'll say, what's your name? And I'll go, it's Graham. And then they'll go, and what's your first name? I'm like, no, that is a first name. So in England, that would be a fairly common first name. But whenever I say that, it's automatically assumed that that's my last name.
Yeah.
And I will often get Mr. Graham when I get emails because they'll see that and they'll think it's my last name. So, And if I have to spell it as well, if people don't hear it, like, what is it? What's your name? So I always have to say, like, the crackers, Graham crackers, and then everyone gets it instantly. But it's like, I have to roll my eyes, because that was normally what people would say to me. Oh, Graham, as in crackers? I'm like, yeah, you got it. You got it. I agree with you, Bo. It's tiresome, but you...
You gotta make a game out of it, make it fun.
I'll get Brett with one T a lot, and then my last name gets butchered all the time because it's pronounced Jagger, J-A-G-E-R, but obviously get Jaeger all the time.
Yeah, of course.
Or
yeah.
People that spell it J-A-G-G-E-R or J-A-E-G-E-R. So yeah, I feel it.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of. Yeah, of course that would make. Yeah, I'm guessing if you're a Rolling Stones fan, you're going with the double G, right?
Yeah. And my dad's name is Rick Jagger. So yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Here's one last crazy thing I get. My last name is Rand, and of course, in Kentucky, one of the senators is Rand Paul. Yeah. And I cannot tell you how many people have been like, "Oh, are you related to him?" I cannot tell you. Like it's more than 50.
That's like, classic. It blows my mind. Right?
Very much. Yeah.
Not to shit on our fine state here, but yeah, that's funny.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you take somebody's last name and you think it's connected to you because it's their first name. Oh goodness. I got a bonus bad cop moment. I didn't finish the whole quote, and you picked up on part of it actually, Brett. Henry went on to say that any wrestler who goes to an agent or the office about abuse is weak and doesn't deserve to be in the business. And yes. Goes on to call today's wrestlers soft ass entertainers, and the business won't ever get back to the glory days or whatever until this kind of behavior comes back. Oh my god, he was really doubling down on this. All right, my main bad cop moment is something I had to kind of plead the fifth on earlier, even though I'm not allowed to do that as a British citizen. The Joker in, I don't even know what it's called, was it the Casino Battle Royal, whatever it's called. Everyone said ahead of time the Joker was going to be Hangman, pretty much. I kind of saw that, and then when he came out I was like, oh, okay. So I wasn't excited by that entrance at all. I don't dislike Hangman, but it was like, it's already been predicted. And as soon as he came out, I was like, well, he's obviously going to win. And sure enough, he won. And for me, that kind of disappointed me. Like, it took the whole, it was a potentially good match with all those people in there. I was excited to see how it went. But as soon as that last person came, that was the whole thought during my match. When's Hangman coming out? And why does it, well, I know the Joker comes out last, but because they want to prolong it for a little bit longer. But yeah, it kind of disappointed me. The other thing that I didn't like about it was they had such a good slow build to this. Like, they'd been teasing that relationship he has with Kenny. Like, they were tag teaming together, then they kind of fell apart, and it was nice and slow. Now, Matt's complaint last week was that AEW is putting matches together too quickly. Like, they're not waiting on anything, they're putting the matches together. And that's what this actually felt like. I hate agreeing with Matt. I know Matt's going to probably have a big smile on his face right now, but it seemed too quick. If Hangman's been away for that period of time, I thought that they could have put some, he could have brought him back in a different way and perhaps built that story in. To put him straight into that title match, to me, just seemed a little bit quick.
I will counter that real quick with saying I thought the build to the 5-on-5 elimination tag, him and the Dark Order against the Elite, because remember, Hangman had already earned his title shot, and he put it on the line in that match and lost. And then he went away for 2.5 months. So he already had this feud that was simmering for 2 months and getting me and others like really, really excited. And then they kind of ripped the rug out from under it. And it's like, what the hell? But it made sense, because then you got CM Punk, Danielson, and Adam Cole, and all these people coming. I think it worked out perfectly. Again, I'm a huge Hangman mark, and I'm not going to say otherwise, but I also totally understand your viewpoint. And like, for me, I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be him. And like I said, I was getting that nervousness and anxiety. So for me, when he finally came out, like, it was everything. But I totally see what you mean with that. But again, I think the feud was already built to the point where they were ready for that title shot.
It was.
Yep. Took it away. And for me, it's a perfect way to make sense and get that back going. But again, I see the other viewpoints, and I can certainly respect it.
It's just a shame. I assume he was out for injuries. I don't know. I haven't actually looked at it.
So the whole rumor was that his wife was pregnant, and then he did an interview with Tony Schiavone after Dynamite during the commercial break of Roads to the Top. They've been doing that. And he said he had a baby boy. But it was almost coming off as if, like, that could have been a work. Like, it was really strange. Like, he showed Tony Schiavone the picture, but it didn't show us. So I don't know if he's just working us or what, but I'm sure we'll figure out soon enough.
It's just that gap, that 2.5 months. Like, if it would have been straight after, I would have had no problem with it at all. But I'm going to back Matt up on that one. It's one of those where it just came back so quickly again. It's like, kind of. Okay. All right. It was just a little thing.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to move on to some fan cut moments. We talked about our good and bad, but let's see what our listeners actually thought then.
Good. Bad.
Fan cut moments. This is the perfect opportunity if any of our guests forgot to prepare an open agenda or forgot to prepare a devil's advocate. You will have a few minutes to come up with something or recraft your sentences while I read through what our listeners were actually saying. Some of these we definitely heard as we were going through. At Heel Cherry Garcia, best cop moment, Cage versus Daniels, and the worst cop moment, that DUI that you talked about earlier, Brett. At Jeremy in Time 721, his best cop moment, King of the Ring tournament, having some good matches on SmackDown. And the worst cop moment, the Queen's Crown tournament, horrendous booking. Bobby Lashley not swapping brands, Liv Morgan going to Raw, and Sonya Deville giving Naomi what she wants, a match with Sonya. And looks like we've got a bonus moment at the end here. Oh, hashtag best cop moment that I forgot. Seth Rollins versus Edge 3 being in Hell in a Cell, seemingly returning Hell in a Cell match type to its former glory instead of the prop it's been for years. Yeah, that certainly seems to be true. When I think back to the classic days, it was far much bigger thing, and it seems to have softened a little bit. Bishop, who was mentioned earlier at TW Takes Podcast, best cop, MLW live and in person, really fun show. Worst cop, MLW on TV. 5.5 hours of live taping for two matches for 1 hour of TV. Also a 10-minute segment on wrestling. Rumors that had nothing to do with MLW. Yeah, I went to the first one that came back after the pandemic, and Mason and I had to leave in the end because I was like, shoot, we got to get home. It might have been going on like 4 hours. So you definitely get value for money at those MLW recordings for sure. At Just In Time 211, best cop moments, Ricochet being drafted to SmackDown and Hangman Adam Page's return. Yeah, 1 point for both.
That's Brett, my boy Justin.
Yeah. Worst cut moment, MLW wasting 20 minutes of their show. It gets higher and higher depending on who was watching it. Perhaps Bishop was watching on times two. That's why it was 10 minutes of their show on Thursday to talk about WWE and AEW news and rumors instead of promoting their own product. Hashtag F the Dirt Sheets. I have not seen that show. I used to watch it religiously, and I got to admit, I've been pretty bad at watching it. Did either of you catch that? Because that just sounds goddamn awful, to be honest.
All right, what was it? I was kind of looking
about. Basically, it was a rumor segment for about 10 or 20 minutes just talking about things that are going on WWE and AEW. I don't understand why MLW would do that. That makes no sense at all. Chat, Grapple, and Cheap Pops. Best cop seeing the rag sheet / journalist scramble and reach hard to explain why AEW numbers are dropping. And worst cop, at TW Takes Podcast, only doing 40-minute episodes. And let's face it, that draft was pretty boring. Yes, we've been spoiled recently. We've had some two-hour episodes. And yes, 40 minutes does not seem enough anymore. Oh, geez. This is Matt. He's posted under his Game Junkies Twitter feed. He said, I won't read it. I'm going to read it, okay? Good cop moment. Our own at the Matt Attack UK getting into character. Shambles Zealous at EGX on Friday promoting the at Viz Global Media Network. All right, I'll give you credit. If you're promoting Viz Global Media, Visionaries Global Media, I got to give you credit for that. And there was also a picture that he posted as well. I guess he didn't have any bad cop moments. Oh, he said, I wouldn't read it. That was the bad cop moment. Ha, tough. I read it. Wrestling by Waldridge. Best cop moment. Got to be Hangman's return, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Worst cop moment. Wouldn't suggest it's something terrible, but I thought the ladder match from AEW completely lacked in psychology for a lot of it. It was, had some spots in there, so yeah. I still had fun with it most of the time. At UTT Rob, best cop moment. King of the Ring returning with Queen. King of the Ring returning with Queen's Crown. Worst cop moment, it being on Raw and SmackDown rather than its own pay-per-view. And a WTF cop moment, which we've never had before. This is the first one. Goldberg threatening to kill Lashley.
threatening to kill him.
Okay. It's my wrestling podcast. I think the worst cop moment should universally be two women's matches amounting to less time than Roman's entrance. It's difficult to tell from the highlights, but they did seem a little short. Those matches.
I was reading about that. Yeah, that's pretty weak.
That is pretty weak. I was 0 for 2 on my predictions. I thought for sure Toni Storm would win, and she did not. And I thought for sure that Carmella would lose, and she did not. So I did not do well on those predictions at all. But my finger is rarely matching Vince's pulse at this point, so I wasn't particularly... I guess I should Same. Just think what I think and then go with the opposite, and that's probably what Vince is thinking. But once again, thank you to everyone for writing in and letting us know what they thought.
Real quick, I actually have a bonus great cop moment from High Five Tom, who claims that you always forget his moments. So this week's great cop moment from High Five Tom is something I touched on a little bit, but he said Jeff Cobb's legendary run in the G1. And I agree. He's 6-0. He's looked amazing. Like, I know Tom is the biggest Jeff Cobb fan, and I always liked him. But coming into this year, like, he had a 5-star match with Shingo at Wrestle Kingdom, and ever since then, they've been booking him strong. He's been on a roll. I'm hoping that it's undefeated Okada versus undefeated Jeff Cobb in the block final coming up. But yes, that is High Five Tom's great cop moment of the week.
Mason and I got to meet Jeff Cobb a couple of years ago when he was in Canada. Really intimidating, not intimidating, but in terms of a figure, he's a big figure.
Oh, yeah.
And when you rate him, you're like, this is a wrestler. Like, he feels like a wrestler should feel like. Really nice guy. We got a couple of nice pictures, and he was really high on that. Oh, gosh, whatever that top 500 is. PWI. He was like 20, I think it was. But it was kind of cool when you see some people out. Now, I'm glad you reminded me, because I actually forgot to include that, because that was actually going to be my last line, that people who think I forgot High Five Tom's moments, then I didn't, because he didn't send any this week.
Oh.
And he didn't send any last week either, so I couldn't read out the ones
we normally a week behind. He texted us while we were already recording here. I'm like, yeah, I got you.
I saw something come up on my phone, but I couldn't see. I went to look, and I was like, it's not in my DM. It's not on my Twitter feed. And I was like, I don't know. I'll worry about it later. I thought it wasn't nothing important. All right, so High Five, Tom. You got your moment in the sun, as it were. All right, guys, let's move on to those open agendas. Let's see what else we got to talk about besides wrestling.
Good. Bad.
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. I also discuss some of your terrible and not so terrible wrestling takes, and whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found, and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.
All right, I guess we switch the order back again. So, Bo, anything that you would like to talk about? It can be wrestling related if you like, but you've kind of got the run of the floor. You can talk about anything under the sun.
Oh, man. I guess, yeah, this is as good of a time as any just to kind of talk about, man, like, you know, from January the 2nd when we were last on here until now, you know, just kind of sort of our journey, what we've been on, you know, obviously kind of with the crazy stuff that's happened with us with Turner and now Greg and stuff, but just life stuff in general, you know, like I'm recording this from living in a completely, you know, different place.
There's a lot of changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say life hits you pretty quickly. You never quite know. I'm going to say whenever you look back, I think if COVID's taught us anything, it's things can change pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But yes, when you look back at over a year, how things have developed, then things can change very quickly. Like I would say MGB, we've been doing that for 3.5 years, but mm-hmm. the changes have mainly been in me, not so much. In my eldest son's voice, for starters, starting off as a 10-year-old who is now a teenager who's getting ready to join high school next year, then the squeaky talking little bit suddenly has gone very much, and we've got a much more deep sounding a lot can change over the course of a year, and it's always good back to reflect on sort of things that have happened.
That sounds like it could be like a Nickelodeon or a Disney Channel show.
When Bo, just to your point, like coming, you know, going through COVID and everything last year, 2020, like That year, it felt like time almost stood still for a bit. But 2021, I swear, has felt like the fastest year of all time. It's like, how in the hell is it October 9th already? The fact that we were on with you in January does not seem like 9 months ago. Like, it's just crazy how quickly time has passed.
We keep saying Hangman was gone for 2.5 months.
I know.
And I was just like, didn't we just talk about that on episode like 32?
Yeah, you know, we're on 39 now. Dark Order match was like the end of July, and he left because I still go back and watch that entrance like weekly. the cowboy and you don't need a hat to be a cowboy. Oh, I love that shit.
And it's just like, you know, before, I remember we went on the show last time, I was like, oh, what's this going to be like? You know, this is going to be the first time, like, you know, a much larger audience is going to listen to us now that we're with, you know, associated with you all, with Good Cop, Bad Cop, and VGM. You know, just kind of thinking that. And then, you know, the preparation for it this time, Grammy messaged us, you were like, well, you know the drill, and we kind of did. But
I don't think that was as formal as that. I was like,
Bo texted me, he's like, how many good cop moments do we need? I'm like, just a few of each. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll be fine.
Yeah. But, so just kind of the difference in just sort of, you know, kind of my level of just sort of comfort with this, you know, just, you know, not just that, but just, you know, learning more about wrestling, getting this kind of crash course. And I remember last time you all were sort of talking about wrestling, and the names just seemed like they were their own language that I didn't know. So now, you know, I definitely feel like I'm beyond a neophyte in this world, and I'm enjoying myself.
I get that whenever Matt talks classic wrestling, because you talked about an 8-year gap. I had a much longer gap than that. It was like 2003 to possibly 2015 or 2016. And I didn't watch wrestling before 2000, except for British wrestling in the 80s. So I have massive gaps in my knowledge. Yeah. So when he's talking about, oh, remember this classic King of the Ring from 1990? No, I don't. Remember Halloween Havoc from...
I bet he and I could certainly dish on a lot of that. And to segue real quick, and it was incredible when we did the game show for specifically Devoid, which Micah
tweeted,
comes out tonight at 7 p.m.
Oh!
So a little plug for that, and it was, you'll hear, and it was so much fun going back and forth with Matt and Chad and Diesel about the NXT champs. Like, that got my blood going. Like, that was so much fun. Tune into specifically Devoid's Triple Threat game show. BBBs versus Good Cop, Bad Cop versus View from the Top Rope. Little plug for you, Toxic Micah.
Yeah.
How long ago was that then?
I know.
Dead of summertime.
Longer ago than Hangman left.
Yeah, June maybe, something like that. I remember I did it outside. Yeah.
It was probably sometime in July.
On a Sunday. I believe
we're about 3 months ago. Actually, that's pretty good for them. That's a quick turnover. Like that in kayfabe episodes, they're like 5-6 months. I think mine came out in July.
Yeah,
we're talking about stuff that was in January.
Yeah, they'll record stuff, and it's like, I was actually thinking about this. I'm like, has that come out yet? And no, here we are.
As you talked about it, I was thinking, I don't think I've listened back to that yet.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to go back and watch for sure.
Yeah.
It was a battle. Great.
Yes.
Brett. Open agenda. What do you have?
Just to first piggyback off Bo's and just like how weird this year is, but how awesome it has been to go back to live wrestling shows and to get to go to Dynamite twice in a 3-week span, meet Chad Diesel and Tom like we talked about, experience Milwaukee, which I'd never even been to the state of Wisconsin and absolutely loved it. Got to see the Reds beat the Brewers at Miller Park, which was awesome. But I feel like I had another point and I don't even remember it. So let's talk just a little sports real quick. We talked a little bit before we started recording. The Red Sox dominated the Rays last night, 14-6. Our Reds tumbled down the stretch. It sucked, but the Cardinals somehow won 17 games in a row and kind of like put us out of it regardless. But that's my least favorite team in all of professional sports. So I was obviously furious. But I was very happy that the Dodgers beat them in the wild card game. So you were saying you think the Rays are still the favorite, even though the Red Sox are down or up 1-0 in the series.
I do. I just think that considering that whole division, those teams beat up on each other.
For real.
The fact that they managed to get 100 wins, like, and they still have I still think they're under control. I think the Red Sox are going to struggle to win both of those home games. I think there'll be another split, and then it'll go down to a single game. And to be honest, I'm quite happy with that. If you give me that chance of, if you'd have offered me that at the start of the season, hey, Red Sox have got one game, okay, do or die in the ALDS, I would have bitten your hand off. I didn't think they were going to even make the playoffs. I thought they were going to finish bottom of that division. Alex Cora seems to be some sort of wizard. Like, he was out for a year, and then suddenly he comes back. You don't have Mookie Betts there anymore. You don't have David Price there in his contract, thank God. But yeah, with limited resources, he's managed to put a team together that's decent. Chris Sale was out most of the year still from his injury. And some of the people they've picked up, they know how to, their scouting system is phenomenal. Like, players people put on the waivers, and they were like, yeah, we'll have that player. They've all turned out good. Like, you look at the players from the trade deadline, like, they picked up different players. Like, the Yankees went out, as they always do, and spent a ton of money. And did it really work for them? No, because they just bought sluggers and they forgot to buy any pitching. Whereas the Red Sox picked up people who were like, well, you didn't do that well in Chicago, but we'll take a chance. And then suddenly, whatever it is, that atmosphere in Boston, it's, they have a chance because they are a team, but they're not the strongest team right now. The one thing I will say, though, is if they get through the Rays, I actually think they will probably win the World Series, as good as the Giants are.
Okay, I was going to say, what's the momentum thing? What's your World Series pick?
Right now, it would be Giants-Rays.
Giants winning?
Probably, yes. I think the Giants would beat the Rays.
I don't really have a pick, but I'm pulling for the Brewers. Even I worked for the Braves in 2011, but again, like, just being up there and being with those guys, like, I'd be happy for them, especially. And like, the Brewers, we've got nothing against the Brewers, and they're a fun, really good team this year. Mm-hmm. And then in the AL, I liked the White Sox, but now they're down 2-0. So really, I don't really care for any of the AL teams. The Rays would be the only one I don't really dislike, but I'll be happy for you if the Red Sox win, for sure.
Yeah.
But, and then real quick, just want to touch on our 3-1 Cincinnati Bengals with one of the best quarterbacks in the league rising up. Joe Burrow has just been unbelievable. And I mentioned this briefly on our show last week. I freelance and work all the Bengals home games, and I'm in the press box and was thinking, like, oh shit, I might see Tony Khan. And I did see him. Unfortunately, didn't really get a chance to, like, talk to him, which would have been cool, but it was still just cool seeing him. And, like, we definitely locked eyes during the national anthem, which was pretty funny. But no, never thought we would be 3-1. Burrow looks amazing. Big home game against the Packers tomorrow. I don't know, for the first time as a Bengals fan, which we've certainly been through a lot of shit, you know, especially growing up in the 90s for us, like, those were some wretched teams. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to make the playoffs, because I don't necessarily think we are, but just having a guy like Joe Burrow, it's just different. It's different from Andy Dalton. It's different from even Carson Palmer, where it's like, I feel confidence that, like, this guy can lead us to victory. And yeah, we were playing Jacksonville, who's garbage, and they're obviously having their own issues. But once we made that goal line stand at halftime, scored coming out of the half, I'm like, we are going to win this game. And we did. And I don't know. It's just a cool feeling for the Bengals to kind of have a prayer and just have a guy like this that, you know, yeah, Carson Palmer was a number one pick, but it's just different. Like, Burrow is just, I don't know, I love the guy. And knock on wood, hope he stays healthy, and just excited for a more fun season than I think I was coming into it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought we would be, you know, like 6 wins. I guess with the 17-game schedule, it would be 6-11. You know, I thought, and now I think, you know, we could definitely go. I know 500 doesn't exist anymore, but that kind of level.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I don't want to sort of pick playoffs with you because I think our division's too tough. We've never, seems like we've never been able to beat Lamar Jackson. Like, he always has his, like, crazy, spectacular highlight reel throughout the entire year plays against us, you know. and then the Browns, I think, are probably the best team just overall, pound for pound. Definitely nice to see the Steelers sort of taking a beating and just kind of been just being,
smoked them on the road. That was awesome.
And I also read this week that I think this game against the Packers is the first sellout at Paul Brown since
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, and it's not just since 2019, the pre-COVID year. It's been since, like, you know, back in Marvin Lewis at some point. So
Yeah. Last time I was at Bengal Stadium, I'm trying to remember, I don't know the exact year, so I'm just going to plump for 2017. It was preseason, because that's the time when I take Mason up to his grandparents in Ohio. So we're trying, rather than just going straight there, we try and take a few detours. So that year it was go through Cincinnati, go and see all that stuff. It was, I'm sure Dalton would have been the quarterback, and it was against Tampa Bay, and it would have been Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly a few years, but yeah, certainly those teams change so quick. I can't keep up with it. My son knows all of them, because I got him into fantasy about a couple of years ago,
and now he's
loving fantasy, so he knows everything. Like, what he doesn't know isn't worth knowing, and now my youngest as well, he's decided he wants to do fantasy this year as well. So they know all the players, all the teams, and yeah, when I see different quarterbacks, I'm like, oh, they're not with that team. Like, I'm the old guy right now. It's like, Dad, he hasn't played for them for like 2 years. I'm like, I don't know. I don't follow NFL. See, I'm a Dolphins fan, so I've had no interest in the NFL for like 20 years. They've been so and as soon as I saw their quarterback got injured as well, I don't even know if he's back. I was like, oh, yeah. And yeah, I am enjoying beating the Patriots by 1 point though this season. So if nothing else, I don't care. That's all I needed. That was all I needed. And yeah, it seems strange. Bills being the dominant team. Like, I'm not used to that. In most of my footballing life, that has not been true. They've been the whipping boys in that division. Well, I guess the Jets as well. It's actually, that division's pretty dire, actually.
Yeah. Like it is. Teams in there. One of my favorite things to do, like, is to go to the Jets subreddit. You know, because their fans are just, they just loathe their team, you know, and they're just so quick just to, you know, making these big conclusions. Like, there was one thread that was one of my favorites, where it's like, what horrible things have the Jets, like, caused you to do? So, like, big meltdowns people have had. And it was some pretty intense stuff. So that's a lot of entertainment, you know. That I get out of that division, I would say.
That was the complaint I got from my son today as we were driving to disc golf. He's like, I don't believe it. He's like, Monday night. He's a big fan of Monday night football now. It's like, the Monday night football. Oh, he might have been said Sunday night. I kind of tune him out a little bit when he's NFL. He's like, the Jets are playing. And I was like, it's a New York market. Like, they're not a good team, but that market is huge up there. So you're going to get that happen, unfortunately. So
I have just one more point during this open agenda, and it is wrestling related, but just a headline I saw this morning that really cracked me up. Dominic Mysterio's teachers were actually concerned that he was in a custody battle in 2005, which, Bo, I know I've told you about this, but there was a ladder match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero for the custody of Dominic Mysterio. Yeah. And when he was a little kid, and now he's obviously wrestling for WWE, but like, the fact that when he was, you know, probably like second grade or something like that, that his teachers were concerned that this was a real thing. I just saw the headline today and it really made me chuckle. So
that's great.
If he would have been like 1985, then you could possibly have understood that. But in 2005, like, kayfabe,
you should know better.
Like, yeah, yeah.
That's somebody who clearly does not follow wrestling.
And yeah. Still,
and or didn't even try, you know, like, didn't he, like.
But yeah, that was a classic, and if we can ever do If You Recall Again on our show, that'll definitely be one that we have to watch, because the match is pretty solid, too, and it's just such a ridiculous story. So, yeah, funny stuff.
Ah, good stuff. Yeah, I like stories like that. It's amazing how it takes so long for something like that to surface, but
I know.
They were too embarrassed. I've retired now. Hey, let me tell you my stories. Yeah. All right. We've talked about wrestling. We've talked about NFL. We've talked about pretty much everything. So that's it. Start warming up, boys. It's time to go to the Devil's Advocate round.
Good. Bad.
All right, guys. Devil's Advocate time. Matt's not here, so I got to try and remember what he says. This round is entirely for entertainment purposes. We have to defend a statement for 20 seconds, whether we believe it or not. Anyone who has any problems with this needs to consult our guest lawyer for this week, who is at, it's not at Toxic Micah, is it? It's at Dying Formats is the first contact this week if you have any issues with
this. He should change his Twitter handle, though.
Yeah, he should. It probably definitely is available. I don't know. I think we're going to take it and then make him pay us for it. It sounds like the best case scenario.
For stealing your design.
On his behalf.
Yeah,
I think that would be a perfect one to do. All right, so this is where we trade off our devil's advocates. I certainly have one for each of you.
I do now as well. I've got one for each of you.
Oh, you got one for Bo as well? All right, yep. Perfect. Bo, where are you standing on these devil's advocates?
I've got one that could be used for either of you, but I could also come up with another one.
Perfect. Very quickly. Hey, Brett, why don't we trade Devil's Advocates first then? Give Bo a little bit of extra time, and then we'll see where the situation is at that point.
Yeah, both of mine basically came from things we've already discussed too. So, yeah.
Oh, you've had to be the poker player sometimes I have. Like, it's like, oh, that's interesting. You would mention that because I have that as one of my Devil's Advocates. So,
yeah,
sometimes we have to kind of pretend we don't really know what's going on and play dumb for a little bit. Have you got your timer at 20 seconds? I'll trust you to do your own time.
So we're timing ourselves here?
Yeah, it kind of got a little confusing. Sometimes it didn't come through very well, so we'll go with that. Do you want to deliver a Devil's Advocate, or do you want to receive a Devil's Advocate?
I'll deliver mine to you. And I don't even know if this will be that offensive, but again, just based on the conversation and the t-shirt you're wearing, which is a Jonathan Gresham t-shirt, who is, without a doubt, the octopus, love it. Without a doubt, one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, but your Devil's Advocate is Daniel Garcia is a better technical wrestler than Jonathan Gresham.
Well, I think that's obvious from what we've seen on AEW. Obviously, we see him on Ring of Honor, but how often do you get to see Jonathan Gresham? Who knows what channel Ring of Honor is actually on? Like, besides YouTube, how are you going to actually find that? So we do get to see Daniel Garcia. Like you say, you see him on IWTV, you see him on AEW, you see him on all those shows. So at age 23, he's definitely better than Jonathan Gresham is, who's probably around 30 at this point.
Stop.
I don't know how old Jonathan Gresham is, but I didn't realize that, yes, as a visual medium, by wearing a particular t-shirt, I'm setting myself up for a Devil's Advocate. Yeah, as I was looking through my wardrobe this morning, I was like, I don't think I've actually worn this yet. Or I think I've worn it, but I certainly haven't worn it on the show.
It's a sweet shirt.
I think so. I was looking at it. I was like, dang, that's a nice shirt. Like, when I saw this was for my last purchase from Pro Wrestling Tees. I was like, the first organization that Mason and I used to go to, Nova Pro, Jonathan Gresham was on the card pretty much every month. So we quit. Yeah. He was somebody who I massively underappreciated the first few times I went. And then probably about by the fifth time, I was like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. Like, his technical skills are phenomenal. And then ever since that, I was like, yeah, I want to get it. I thought this was also one where it's not obviously a wrestling shirt.
No, it's not.
And for that reason, I was kind of like, I kind of like that as well. Like, I don't need everything to have a wrestler's face on it. So
didn't the Bengals have a tight end named Jonathan Gresham?
It was Jermaine Gresham.
Jermaine Gresham. Yeah, I knew it was similar, yeah.
All right. I think this is where you get a choice, Brett. So would you like number one or number two?
Number two.
All right. You were briefed earlier, so here it is. You picked the one that could be a little dodgy. All right. Why would I be impressed with The Rock releasing a rap song, Face Off? Anybody can make a rap song up on the spot for 20 seconds, as I will demonstrate now.
I'm confused. So what did The Rock do?
You didn't see it? He's got a song out called Face Off.
No,
it was out yesterday. It's all over, I don't know, all over social media. He's released a song with two, I'm guessing, famous rappers. I don't know who any of them are.
I will have to check this out.
So the storyline is he's been a wrestler, he's been a movie star. Now he's suddenly going to become, he's like, he didn't want to do it before, but he's like, yeah, sure, I'm going to be a musician. So everyone was kind of crooning over him, like, oh, look at The Rock, didn't he do such a good job?
He was the Joker. His name was Adam Page. Yeah, yeah, he makes a nice living wage. Hey, hey, he would beat the shit out of Brian Cage. Hey, hey, but what about Ethan Page? Page, but there's also Christian Cage. Cage, let's have a Pages and Cages match. And we'll be cooking up a nice batch. That's all I got.
That sounded pretty staged.
There you go. It's
a real shame that you didn't actually have a microphone, because I needed a mic drop right at the end.
Oh, I've got one. It's just very heavy, and it would have broken
you
my
head. You could do the dumb thing that the Acclaimed do, the little, you know. Yeah.
So as soon as we finish recording, go check it out. It's about 3.5 minutes long. I was listening to it at the breakfast table, and then suddenly I realized it wasn't PG, but thankfully my boys hadn't come downstairs yet, so I quickly stopped it. I was like, I will listen to the whole thing a little bit later. I assumed that it was PG. I don't know why I would have seen that, but no, I was wrong. It definitely was not. All right, Bo, let's see where you are. Well, the good news is you've avoided the crazy devil's advocate.
I've got plenty. Yeah, I know you can't read this, but I've got a bunch of chicken scratch ready for you guys.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to deliver to me, or would you like to receive a devil's advocate from me?
I will receive.
Okay. Have you got that 20-second timer there?
I got you.
No, we'll count up.
All right.
We'll
got you. All right. Your devil's advocate from me, then, is 3 hours long, less than an hour's action. It hasn't been good for years, but the last 2 months have been particularly awful. It has been better this year, as they have been to other cities in front of fans, which is why Vince should try to buy the Cincinnati Reds, as they share the exact same properties that Raw has.
Well, you know, I think, you know, Vince and the Cincinnati Reds fan base really like the same thing. You know, they like poor pacing, they like disappointment, and they like country music. And the Reds are in all of those things. And, yeah, you know, I think Raw was in Cincinnati last week, and Vince must have went and talked to the owners of the Reds. And, yeah, I think it's done.
Right. That was way too long trying to craft that one. I was like, I have to get a dig in at the Cincinnati Reds at some point. And I was like, I know that they bombed, and you already mentioned it earlier. Like, they looked like they were going to cruise into the playoffs, and then they just went straight down. And, I suddenly realized
the Pirates, you know.
good answer, though. That was
you fended off. Well, it was a little bit long, but I kept finding things that I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, the more that Raw and Cincinnati Reds are kind of so similar to each other.
There's that red color, too.
Yeah, that's a more obvious one. I was trying to think of when I think of the Cincinnati Reds, I think of the mid-70s. For me, the big red machine. I wasn't sure if they had another era where they were more relevant, because I'm like, I couldn't stretch WWE back to the 70s.
That was definitely their high point. I mean, they won back-to-back World Series, but, you know, they won it again in 90, but then the 90s were kind of up and down, so no, that was definitely the period.
That 75 World Series, when I moved back to England and I was missing baseball, I bought that DVD series so I could watch that whole thing, because as a Red Sox fan, that was the one they lost, of course. But what a series. Like, you're showing me game 6 right now. Like, I'd seen the clip from it, but to watch those matches and see that whole field was full of Hall of Famers, or it was just that, to me, that's my favorite World Series of all time, even though the Red Sox actually
People forget the Reds actually won that because of the game 6 that everyone remembers, but nope, the Reds won game 7.
Yep. All right, Brett, what you got for me? I'm sorry, Bo, what you got for me?
Oh, for you, Graham?
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta defend something now, I think.
All right. So tell me why Micah is not toxic.
Well, obviously he's not toxic. He's a really good guy. Like, he's had to step in for us a couple of times. Like, we've had guests who dropped out last minute, and we've always put in the call, hey, Micah, are you? He's always let us know, hey, look, he's available to help out, and he's been really good in doing that. He puts people over. Like, he brings people onto his show. He gets the word out there. He's always prepared to take the fall for everybody else and put people over. So obviously that's clearly a positive guy, not toxic.
Stop.
You're welcome, Micah. You're so welcome. Look what I did for you.
You guys have got me into trouble because I started calling him Toxic Micah as well. And he's like, not you as well. I was like, why are you calling me toxic? So, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
we should shorten it to T Mike.
I'm looking forward for the fourth T-shirt to appear on Pro Wrestling Tees, as designed by Bo, with a T-Mike on.
Yeah, better. Coming soon. One of these little button-up shirts, too.
Coming soon. All right, Brett, you guys have got ones to share with each other then now, I believe, right? I can just sit back and listen.
Yeah, so I'll go. Why the spelling of Bo is better as B-O instead of B-E-A-U?
Well, you know, a lot of people mistake BO for body odor, you know, as an acronym. And body odor is a thing that everyone has. So it's something that everybody knows. Not everybody knows BO. And besides, like, it's much more fun to pronounce it BU anyways. It sounds like you're vomiting. And, you know, it just makes it a lot easier on the world. And, I don't know why it's not always this way. Anyone who spells their name BEAU is a jerk.
Time. Good work.
You could also use it for with supplies dwindling and ink supplies getting lower. It's much more efficient to write just Bo than it is to write BEAU. So you're saving the world by writing a shorter name.
Exactly.
non-wrestling related, but that works perfectly. If you can target it at your particular victim, then it works perfectly. All right, Bo, what you got for Brett then?
All right, Brett. Hook is going to kick CM Punk's ass.
You got that right, he is. Yeah, it hasn't debuted yet. He's been trained, I believe, in the factory, and I'm sure Taz has certainly taught him a few tricks up his sleeve. Yeah, likely on Rampage. He got the low blow in on him, so he already knows how to do that. Yeah, Hook is going to dominate, tear apart CM Punk like Daniel Garcia couldn't, and it's going to be glorious.
Excellent.
So you guys didn't need to. I can say you can always think
whenever we'll figure it out. Yeah,
we always figure it out. Like we've had multiple times when I've just had nothing at all, and I was like, I'll just wait for the show. And Matt's trick now is to go and look on people's Twitter feed, and basically whatever they post, he'll just pick the opposite stance to it. So yeah, there's always something that you can come up with. Whenever you follow sports, it's always easy to target people as well. Oh, the one you didn't get. If you'd have said I'm not going to do a rap, that's ridiculous, and I would have been totally okay with that. The other one that I had was the booking of WWE right now is so bad they have no idea what matchups to put together and end up with things that just don't go together, much like chocolate and chili.
Ooh. Very nice. Very nice.
I was on my, it was like, it was kind of, once you got that little thread, then you know what to go with.
I can't remember. Do you like Cincinnati chili?
I don't mind it. I think it's fine. It's not my favorite chili, but I think it's perfectly okay. Yeah, if somebody offered me some, I would be very happy to eat it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The local restaurant we had used to have four different ones, and my favorite was Texas chili.
Mm-hmm.
But then Cincinnati would have been my second choice after that. If they were like, hey, we're out, then I would have gone with Cincinnati quite happily.
Well, next time you come through this area, we'll have to take you to Dixie Chili, which is our favorite and very close to my house, and where we met Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard. Mania to open our show, if you recall that. Yeah,
for some reason, Vince couldn't get it through his head that like they wouldn't give it to him in a bowl with a spoon.
Yeah. Vince did not like the spaghetti, and he didn't do
any research on it, of course, just, you know.
Chili Mac. Oh, you're talking my type of language right now. Our restaurant, that restaurant I talked about, actually, it closed. It was actually where I had my wedding reception with my wife. We got married, literally. I proposed, and we got married in, I think it was 10 days. It was a quick turnaround, so we didn't have a chance to get anything organized. So it was a case of I was going back to England. So it was like, shoot, if we don't get married beforehand, you're gonna have your last name. So we're going to need to get married so you can have my last name, and then we can get the paperwork so you can come back to England with me. So, yeah, it was a 10-day turnaround. So,
Is she American, I presume?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
And that restaurant doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. And I the only time I can get their chili now is if I go to National Stadium, because they have they've got a little cart around the concourse, and that's the only place I can get it. But, it's tough to beat a good chili.
Yeah, agreed.
Guys, thank you so much for stepping in. Matt, you can stay. You can go away to as many conferences as you like. Okay, when I've got guests of this quality, then you are not needed, buddy. You take your time over there. Okay, you enjoy London for right now. Can you please remind us though? We've talked about your show. Can you tell us what day we can find it, where we can find it, and can you give us all your socials as well so people know how to follow you?
Yeah, we're so bad at plugging ourselves on our own show, but we're usually pretty good about it on others. But no, you can find us on the Visionaries Global Media Network. Usually Sunday evenings is when they drop, but sometimes Monday mornings. Just depends on how long editing takes. And on Twitter, at Brainbuster Boys. On Instagram, at Brainbuster Boys. Brainbuster Boys on YouTube, which hopefully we'll be doing a little more video stuff here. Bo, anything else from you?
Yeah, no, we're going to be, I assume this episode, Good Cop, always comes out on Sunday. So you have the opportunity to now spend a good 4 hours with us on Sunday. So let us into your homes.
Yeah, we're getting ready. We're getting ready to record our own show right after this. So,
well, I guess that also means they're gonna have to let Greg into their homes too. So,
I think you're kind of stealing our thing, right? So you're good cop, Greg is bad cop. You got to admit, there must have been some inspiration there, right?
Maybe it was. We didn't know it, but yeah, maybe. Although, again, this was out of our control, so. And yeah, I'm sure he's going to be spewing bile, as Hoagie said, as Dynamite was in Philadelphia this week.
Oh, and, yeah, you know, he hates Philadelphia.
Greg has nothing but distaste for Philadelphia, so I'm sure there'll be some fireworks in that regard. So I don't know. The guy's a lunatic, but it is sometimes entertaining. I mean, when he was on our show, like, I was kind of really learning to like the guy. And but anyway, it's all ancient history, and now he's somehow got his own damn show with a studio audience, and whatever. We're doing our thing.
Guys, make sure you follow these guys. Make sure you're listening on Sundays straight after. What was a perfect combination on Sunday? Good Cop, Bad Cop, followed by Brain Buster, or the other way around, depending on when it comes out, whichever. Make sure you listen to both of us. Thank you guys so much. If I forgot at the start, and it's very possible I did, thanks to John last week for appearing on the show. Really appreciative of that. And next week, I believe we have, I think it's Ori. I think that's how you pronounce the name. I apologize if I got that wrong. I will fix it within the next week. We're out of here. Boom.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/